And now we're delighted to be joined by another poet featured in the book, Michael O'Loughlin, who has two poems in the book. Michael, you're very welcome.
Thanks.
If you want to tell us a little bit about maybe the two poems in the book, we'll get you to read one maybe a little bit later on, but just to talk about the poems that were featured.
That's the poem. One poem is called Glass Diamond Cemetery, and the other poem is called Parnell Street. And the strange thing was that when I first heard about the book, I was looking through my own work, and I found that even though I thought in my own mind that I'd written a lot about Dublin, I hadn't really, in the sense I'd written about Dublin, but in a more maybe abstract kind of way, and there weren't that many poems that referred to actual places. But the parameter of the book is that it's a kind of a map of Dublin on places.
Yeah.
And both those places, the reason I have poems with their names in them is they're places of particular significance
yes,
to me.
Parnell Street is one in Glasnevin Cemetery.
Yeah.
Certainly the one with Glasnevin Cemetery. There's the obvious going to be the dipping into history there, obviously, with some of the...
Yeah, well, the actually, strangely enough, that only came later.
Right.
Because I was raised in Finglas and I went to school in Glasnevin. So every day of my life, I literally passed Glasnevin Cemetery. And it was a huge presence always for me. And I mean, when you think about it, millions of Dubliners live in Glasnevin Cemetery.
Mm.
And many of my relations, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents lived there. And, also famous politicians, famous writers, like Gerald Manley Hopkins, for example.
Yes, yeah.
And it was always a kind of a very... It always had a strange glow to it for me as a place.
Mm.
And I think... I think when I was starting out writing poetry, there wasn't that much written about Dublin as such. And I think I was always looking for something to write about that I suppose would capture my own Dublin.
Yeah.
And I think that it was when I read Ulysses quite young. And, living in Finglas, you very rarely left Finglas. Many young poets perished on the electrified fences trying to get out. But Glasnevin Cemetery was one place I recognised in Ulysses. But places like Sandy Cove and Dalkey and Sandymount, which were mentioned, I'd never even heard of them, never mind been there. So I think that Glasnevin Cemetery acquired that extra layer then of meaning for me through literature. And this particular poem about Glasnevin Cemetery, it's really a record of a walk that I went on one day with my grandmother, who was from Dublin, from the inner city, and my father. And they were having this conversation sort of above my head about people who were dead a long time. And I always remembered it. And then much later on, I was living in Holland for about 15 years. The conversation came back to me one day, literally, and that's where the poem came from.
Yeah.
The other poem, Parnell Street, has a kind of more complicated background because I was born on the Rotunda. So I was literally born in Parnell Street. And also, that's where the Finglas bus stopped. It's actually moved. It's now in Parnell Square, I think. But for generations, it was in Parnell Street. So that particular pub, the Shakespeare, beside the 48 bus stop, was the first pub I was ever in, almost. And it kind of acquired special meaning for me for that reason. Because after I came back from living abroad, I found myself quite often giving workshops or readings up in the Irish Writers' Centre here next door.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found it irony's too weak a word, that I was looking out the window after 25 years away and I was back in Parnell Street. And it was almost a creepy feeling. And one night I had a dream, quite a disturbing dream. Because in my life, a lot of people have this, a lot of writers have written about this, things tend to go in pairs or in weird kind of mirror images. And because I was born in Parnell Street, I had this dream that I died in Parnell Street. And I woke up in a sweat and determined that I would always avoid Parnell Street from there on. But it's like that story in the Arabian Nights, where the man leaves Baghdad and because of a dream to avoid death, but he finds it in the other city.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose a lot of stuff like that
Sure.
Came back.
And you mentioned about being away for a long time, and I know you were involved a lot with translation work in Holland and stuff like that. But was there that sense of Dublin when you were away? You know, you do hear that a lot about people when they go away for whatever reason, their hometown nearly becomes more specific to them.
Yeah, I have to say no.
No.
I suffer from a lot of particular ailments, but homesickness has never been one of them. And I think as soon as I'm the kind of guy, when I left Dublin, I think I never thought about it again until I came back.
Yeah.
I lived in Amsterdam for 15 years, and I don't think I've given it a second thought since. I tend to be in the place that I am.
Yes.
And I don't know. I don't quite get that nostalgia, but I know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, if I thought about Dublin at all, it would have been more to the way my feelings about Dublin when I was growing up.
Right.
And so I think when I was outside of Dublin in Holland, I suppose growing up in Finglas, I always had this very strong sense that you were on the edge of the city.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a very strong sense that the city was on the edge of Europe.
Yeah.
So I think when I was in Amsterdam, I had more a feeling that I was in the center. So I tended to be nostalgic for the edge rather than nostalgic for Dublin, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So, we tend to think of Dublin as a place with a very clearly established literary identity, but it isn't really.
Mm.
There are lots of books about Dublin, but they're very partial.
Mm-hmm.
Ulysses, for example, is a book. It's really only about a part of Dublin. I think we tend to take it on Joyce's own estimation that you could rebuild the city from his book if Dublin were to disappear in a huge flood, but you couldn't. You could rebuild a very, very narrow stratum of society in a very particular geographical area. You couldn't rebuild the city. So the image of Dublin is in literature is something that interests me a lot, and it's a very strange image very often. I mean, there are writers like Kate O'Brien, for example, have written very interestingly about Dublin, and I was one of the great things about this book for me is when I was starting off as a poet, I could find very little written about Dublin. And I tended to ascribe this to, I suppose, a prejudice in favour of rural Ireland. But in fact, there was quite a lot written about Dublin. I just didn't have access to it. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know Austin Clark or Thomas Kinsella, even though they were writing and publishing, but it seemed very far away from me. And I think one of the great things about the book is that it will introduce a whole generation of young writers or young readers even to writing about the city, so that when they go to write about the city, they're part of a tradition. They don't have to, I suppose, reinvent the wheel, let's put it that way.
Well, indeed, it must be nice to be immortalised in such a book. So maybe if you want to read your poem from that book, Michael, as you're listening to Near FM 90.3, we're in the Hugh Lane Gallery, talking about and reading from If Ever You Go, A Map of Dublin in Poetry and Song, which is this year's Dublin One City, One Book. And we're now going to hear from Michael O'Loughlin reading one of his poems from the book.
Glasnevin Cemetery. With deportment learned from samurai films, I surface in the ancestral suburbs. My grandmother is older than China, wiser than Confucius. I pace my stride to hers, soaking in the grey-green air. Under my name cut in stone, my grandfather lies within hearing of the lorries roar out on the main road. I forget my unseemly haste to see the emperor's tomb. We search for family graves in the suburbs of the dead. From the jumble of worn stones unmarked by Celtic crosses, like an Egyptologist, she elucidates obscure backstreet dynasties. We see where Parnell lies buried under Sisyphean stone, put there, my father says, to keep him from climbing out. I am surprised by ancient bitterness surfacing among the TV programs. The plotters of the nation are niched in their kitsch necropolis. Matt Talbot, Larkin, Michael Collins, a holy graven trio, shoulder to shoulder enshrined in the tidy Bogomil parlour of her heart.
The day flowers sluggishly from the stone of contradictions. The trees sway like green chasidim. I shuffle in a kind of lethargic dance, a sprung sign among the signified, a tenant in the suburbs of silence.
Done.